in-depth and God-filled conversations with some of the brightest names in contemporary Christian music and worship. This is The Artist Interview with Gordon T.
And welcome to this week's edition of The Artist Interview. I'm your host, Gordon T, and it's my absolute honour and privilege to scour the world of contemporary Christian music, worship, and other genres to speak to really talented Christian artists who are making a difference in their field. And I'm very pleased to welcome back for the second time on the show Our Atlantic Roots. They've got some absolutely wonderful tracks. Before we meet, let's hear this first track. It's called Meadows and Trenches.
Time will tell us what will come. Though we don't know, we will grow old with the sun. We will wander, we will run. Through the meadows, through the trenches. Through the meadows, through the trenches.
Meadows and Trenches by Our Atlantic Roots. Hey, Laura. Hey, Mac. How you doing, guys?
Hey. Hey, how are you?
We're great. Thanks for having us.
It's an absolute joy to have you back again. So you guys, obviously, well, I've really enjoyed listening to your music for quite a while now, but not all of our listeners will necessarily be familiar with you or familiar with your story. So perhaps we should recap on where you guys have come from, how you got together, and why it is that you're a band, and where the name came from, because that's a question I don't normally ask, but it'd be nice to know. So feel free, you've got the floor.
Perfect.
Great.
So we are Our Atlantic Roots. I'm Laura, this is Mac, my husband, and we've been married now for almost 10 years. We started singing together 10 years ago, pretty much when we first met. So it's quite a cute story, really, because we fell in love over songwriting. I went out to the States when I was 18 to do a gap year, which turned into 5 years at a Bible college, and I met Mac the fourth year that I was out there, and essentially we got put together to lead worship and to do everything music related, and we just love music, and we discovered each other's love for music and would kind of bond over that, and sat down one day to write our first song, and we wrote that song in 6 hours, and then we never looked back. It's not a song that's out there, it's kind of, it was just the initial stepping stone and writing together, but yeah, that's where the journey kind of started for us.
Yeah,
I'll let you add to that, Mac.
Yeah, so Our Atlantic Roots, so being from North Carolina, in the US, where I was born and raised, and Laura being from the UK, we were kind of from either side of the Atlantic, which is, you know, the kind of Atlantic part of it. And it's kind of like where our roots were, from either side of the Atlantic. So that's where Our Atlantic Roots came from. But also, we really wanted to get some kind of tree reference into the name of our band, because
We love nature.
Because we love nature. We love trees. Like, I love going for a good forest walk. I grew up in the woods. There was like a huge woodland next to my house, and lots of trees in North Carolina. So yeah, I you know, play guitars. They're made of wood and all sorts. Anyway, so I just thought, you know, I'd love to have a tree reference. So Our Atlantic Roots kind of spawned from that.
Do you take credit for your name yourself, or was it?
It was definitely a joint decision.
Yeah, we kind of sat down with a pen and paper and wrote out all kinds of wacky ideas. I'm pretty sure I still have the piece of paper somewhere that's covered in all of the things that we could have been.
I was going to ask, can you remember any of the ones that you rejected? What was the worst one that you nearly didn't go for?
Oh gosh, I honestly can't remember the worst one, but we definitely wrote down some names that we thought were really cool, and then we discovered that there was another band called that name, or that there was like a random hairdressers in New York by that name, and they'd already got like the social media handles, and like actually that was a legit thing. One of the names was like a festival in Portugal, and another one was a hair salon in New York, and when you're thinking of a name, you have so much to think
it's about. Hard
yeah
it's hard I will and the advice I suppose we never call yourselves Cindy's Hairdressers New York. It's just going to you know be taken.
We thought that would have been the perfect name, but, you know, it was already taken, so...
Fine, but I like your name. I like your name, and I actually think somehow the name also sort of feels like it suits your music style as well, really nicely.
Really glad to hear about that, because like when we first wrote the name down, and then decided to go with it, it's kind of like we had to grow into it a little bit, and it felt weird calling ourselves a name at first. I think any name would have felt a little bit strange, because it's like this new kind of identity that you're taking on in a way. And although it sums up who we are in our music, it did still feel a little bit strange at first, but now it's become normal and people actually recognize us by the name, which is pretty cool.
The Atlantic, so for me, just makes you think of rolling waves. And I think your music also has this rolling sort of essence to it sometimes. It sort of washes over you. It's absolutely beautiful. So it's good. So you mentioned you both love nature. Have you ever been diving?
No, never.
No.
Is that because you're scared of going underwater, or has it just not come about?
I don't think Mac would ever do that. I would probably do snorkeling.
I prefer being on the water than in it.
Yeah, I think it would be, I would say not never for me, but I would probably need some coaxing into it. And I love it when I've done it, I'm sure, but I'm not very adventurous in that way. It freaked me out a little bit, I think.
So I've dived a few times, and when I dive, I will very often that night have a diving dream, because it's just so extraordinarily beautiful that my brain is just loving processing all the wonderful sights and things that I've seen. And what you described about sort of putting your face down to the water and seeing the distance. I remember swimming along a channel and then coming out with an opening just to deep, deep, deep water below. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is like whatever's down there is down there, but it's just the most beautiful experience. I'd recommend that to you. Maybe try snorkeling though if you don't want to go under.
Yeah, snorkeling sounds like a good starting place. I remember that last year, or it might have even been earlier this year, I did put my head under the water and I had some goggles on, and I looked out towards the kind of abyss of the big old blue ocean, and I think I've seen too many movies where a shark will just appear, and I was just like so freaked out by it.
Oh, okay.
It's awesome, but I was a little bit like apprehensive.
Talking of the ocean, am I right in saying, I think you told me you worked for a surfing charity. Do you still do that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. So I do that just a couple of days a week at the moment. It's called The Wave Project, and it's a surf therapy charity. So we take young people aged between 8 and 18 surfing as an alternative form of therapy. So they will get referred to us by professionals, for example, the NHS and schools, doctors, and then they will be prescribed a course of surfing. So it'll be 6 sessions over 6 weeks, all kinds of abilities. Literally anybody of any ability can have a go, because there's the people there to support them. And then they have this like immersive experience in the ocean, and have an opportunity to get in the cold water, do some exercise, meet some friends, practice, you know, resilience, being thrown off the board by a wave and then getting back on and having a high five, because getting off the board isn't the end of the story. It's actually just the beginning of catching a wave. It's a really cool charity. And we're going to be singing at one of their awards ceremonies later, which is exciting. So
that's cool. What's the award ceremony for then?
So it's essentially just celebrating everything that the young people have achieved, and not only the young people, like this past year, but the instructors and all the people that have been involved. So it's pretty much a volunteer-led, it's quite a volunteer-led charity. There are employees, but we wouldn't be able to do what we do without volunteers. And there's, I think, around about 3,000 volunteers have been trained around the UK. And they actually do this not just in Cornwall, but all around the UK. So we have projects in Northern Ireland and Scotland, even London and Bristol, because in Bristol there's an inland wave pool. So young people are referred from the inner cities and can still have that experience in it's a man-made wave pool, but all of the kind of essential elements are there, and the results have been the same. And then with London, they do sometimes things like stand-up paddleboarding on the Thames, but they also go to the beaches in Brighton as well. So yeah.
And there is a big incentive when you're doing stand-up paddleboarding on the Thames to stay on your board.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know if you saw in the news recently about 92 billion litres of sewage discharged by Thames Water. I just want to name and shame them because that is unbelievable into the Thames over the last 2 years.
Gosh, yeah, I mean, don't even get me started on that whole thing, water pollution, and just pollution in general, because we see so much of that here in Cornwall. It's pretty crazy.
So, and Cornwall always looks so beautiful and the sea always looks so wonderful, but certainly I hope that British water companies start picking up their game. So and people,
me too. Write to your MP, people.
Yeah, write your MP, people. So, and actually, you didn't mention that I think there's a wave project in Bournemouth, which is where I'm from.
There
and FM students are, so
right.
which is great. So, and if people are thinking that they know someone who should be maybe accessing this sort of help, so it's for people what age?
So it's ages 8 to 18. And you'll simply need to get a referral from any professional who knows the child. So it could be, yeah, like I said, a doctor, teacher, a social worker. And then they can just find out how to refer to the Wave Project by visiting waveproject.co.uk. And you'll probably end up coming through to me. So we'll get to have a chat.
Okay, that's pretty cool. So, okay. And I guess it's probably true for lots of independent musicians that they have to have multiple arrows in their quiver to be able to support themselves and all the rest of it. So Mac, what about yourself? How much of your time is spent on music and how much is spent on other things?
Well, at the moment I have actually I'm full time, which is pretty great. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, sitting at home. So but up until last week I was actually making hats. So
what's the word for a person who makes hats?
A milliner.
Yes, that is right. And I can see, well, your hat got a shout out very cool hat.
At gets the attention always.
Although I didn't make that particular one, but that's the guy I work for. So I have a few back there that I have made.
Yeah.
They look very cool. Just I'll finish just saying at the UK Christian Music Awards. That's where you were sitting down the front. I was on the other side and everyone was very impressed with your hat, including the presenters who pointed out how cool it was. So which was great. Okay, so you've stopped hat making
at the moment?
Yeah, just at the moment. Yeah, for now.
So the guy who runs the business, Marcel Woodvigus, he is based. Well, he has a shop here in Nansleden in Newquay, and that's where Mac was based. And he's just kind of been doing that on a freelance basis
for a few months.
Yeah, but he just opened up a shop on Savile Row in London, which is very exciting. So a few of Mac.
That is super cool posh sort of area in London, really, isn't it? And that's wow.
So it's pretty cool that Mac has created something. Well, not created, but he's made something that is now sat on Savile Row in like one of the biggest fashion districts in the world, which is pretty cool. But you actually did youth work, didn't you, for 9 years before?
I did. Yeah. So I was a youth worker at our local church I was in Yorkshire for 4 years and then we moved to Cornwall 5 years ago. And yeah, was the youth worker for 5 years.
Almost six, actually. I'm only a few months away from being 6 years, which is crazy.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun. And you smiled as you said it. So clearly you enjoyed the fruit of the things that you were doing with youth work.
Yeah. I enjoyed working with the kids. It was one of those things. Sometimes I could be a big kid myself, and there was always those times where I was like, "Oh man, I really could do with not having this responsibility right now." Because it's one of those things where like it's not like a normal job. Like it's hard to put that down at the end of the day, and it's not the kind of thing that you can just like show up, do your job, and then leave. Because you know, it's trying to organize things and, you know,
keep in touch with kids
and parents, and, you know, stuff kicks off and then they call you in the middle of the night and parents are like, "Oh, can you have a chat tonight, kid? They're struggling a bit." And it's like, yeah, okay.
I can imagine it's quite broad in its depths. If you're doing youth work, hats off. Oh, hats on maybe in your case, but hats off to anyone involved in youth work.
Definitely.
Because it's one of those things though that is challenging. It's very hard. People burn out doing it quite often as well. But it is one of the things where actually it makes a world of difference to the kids that you get to impact in that way. So,
and it also that it can oftentimes be, I think some people see it almost as a stepping stone to like becoming like a, you know, a senior pastor or something one day. And so it's crazy. Like a statistic was that, I'm kind of changing the subject, it's not on us anymore, but there's like a statistic that the average youth leader is only in place for a maximum of 2 years. And which is sad, because, you know, if you think about how many youth leaders a young person is likely to see throughout their time in school, and already, you know, that's kind of a new season in their lives and there's so much going on. And I think it's important for a young person to have consistency through that time. So I've tried to like stay in post, even when I was feeling like, oh man, there's so much tension between the music and that. And like, I just wanted to make sure that somebody was there for that and like supporting young people through that. But I mean, it's important to know that, you know, youth leaders are so important because they're raising up the, you know, the next generation of go-getters and pioneers. So yeah, they need a lot of support and love and attention.
Yeah. So I've got to say, sounds like a lot of fun and a lot of hard work. Do you have a funny story and also a highlight from your time as a youth worker?
There was one where, so I technically can still do it, but I haven't done it in a while, but I can do like backflips and things.
Oh, wow.
The kids thought was amazing. Got me really, you know, mad props in the youth.
Yeah. And you're not short. You're quite tall. So I think for tall people, backflips are harder. I'm tall, so that's why I assume I can't do them.
But yeah, I used to do a lot of like parkour and stuff, so I can do all kinds of fun flips.
Okay. That's pretty awesome.
And the kids were like, oh, do a backflip. And I was like, no, I need to be responsible. And they're like, come on. I was like, okay, come on, you convinced me. So I went to go do a backflip. And I didn't realize, but in this one part of the church, there was like a trap door, because it's where the stage was.
Oh, the kids pranked you. They'd undone the thing underneath it.
Nobody knew.
Yeah,
this is the thing. So it was like, it was really old, and it was like, had been like carpeted over. But there was a trap door underneath. So I did this backflip and just landed on the trap door and just went straight through the floor.
Wow.
They're like, oh.
And I walked out of the room for a second, and I was already getting mad at Mac, because I was thinking, man, he probably doesn't need to be jumping up and doing flips in the middle of the church hall. It's not going to end well. And I just heard this massive bang and then silence. And then the kids started like laughing, and they were like, Laura. And I came out and said a few choice words to Mac.
Oh dear. That is funny. Oh, well, health and safety says clearly you should always check under all the carpets, wherever you are, if you're going to do a backflip, just in case there's a trap door there that you didn't know about. So yeah. Okay. That's a great story.
Landed it there.
Okay. That's good. So, and you didn't get injured?
No, I didn't actually. Not that time. It's a miracle.
Although really. The one time that he did a backflip in the snow with wellies on.
That one hurt.
We did have a hospital trip, and yeah.
Okay.
I think that was one of those ones where I saw Mac in midair, and I was just like, oh no, he's too far away to, or I saw him just before he was going to do the flip.
Yeah, again, I landed it, but I landed on a patch of ice. And just,
ouch.
My face.
Ouch. That's not going to be comfortable. So yes, again, health and safety risk assessment. Never do backflips in Wellingtons. Yeah. Wellington boots. What do you call them in America? You probably don't call them Wellington boots.
Yeah, what do you call them? It's been so long ago, hasn't it? What do you call them? Rain boots, I think.
Rain boots, yeah.
I think it's
the big rubbery boots that you go halfway up to your knees, sort of thing. Yeah. Okay, on the ice. That you should never do. Wellington boot backflips on ice.
Definitely
bad combination.
No.
Okay. And how about a highlight from your youth work years?
Good question. I mean, there was a young lad who I was working with who he just happened to come in. So he was having some troubles at school, and like he wasn't doing very well in a school setting. And our church had this program that was called, it was called Storehouse. So it was like a thing that we do that we like, it's like a soup kitchen kind of thing, or like a community kitchen where we kind of offered, you know, feeding homeless people and kind of like a multi agency hub as well, which was kind of cool. But then he went to go volunteer at that, and we ended up chatting, and he ended up coming to youth, even though he was a little unsure about this whole church Christian thing. And he ended up not only becoming a Christian, but like being fully on fire. And like the rest of the group actually ended up like he kind of naturally led them, and they started seeing this change in his life because they were quite complacent, you know, at this point. And I was like trying to figure out like, okay, what am I going to do to try and like, you know, inspire these young people? And then it just naturally happened where this kid came in and he had this encounter with Jesus. And it was amazing just to see the complete transformation in his life. And like everyone who had contact with this kid was like he hasn't been having these outbursts like he was. He's way kinder than he used to be. He's becoming more thoughtful, and like, and he just kind of took on this natural, like young leader kind of position. And it was incredible just to see that transformation in his life and the way that he inspired the rest of the group. And yeah, it was absolutely amazing. And then like, you know, the Spirit of God just kind of broke out in that youth group after that. And there was a lot of amazing stories that came from that moment that young kid had with Christ. And he stood up and was like, don't you guys get it? Like, don't you guys understand who we're serving right now? Like, this is the God of the universe. And he came and he changed my life.
I think, Max, we live in the moment.
Yeah, it was just amazing. Like,
yeah, but it sounds great. And for all of us, there's that opportunity though, isn't there, that we can just say something to someone that becomes one of the things that takes them on a journey that changes their life. And then the fruit goes on, because clearly that guy is going to be changing other people's lives as well, which is exciting. So I'm going to rewind though, because the bit that started us off was talking about the fact you stopped doing hat making because you're putting more time into the music side of things at the moment. And there's an EP coming out early in 2024. So what sort of thing should people be looking forward to then?
Definitely. I mean, the EP has the classic Our Atlantic Roots sound with the harmonies. It's quite a lot more stripped back than our music to date, really. So quite a lot of our music, although started out being written on acoustic guitar with vocals, has kind of become quite cinematic, and we love that. But this EP we recorded with Andy Bell, who's actually the producer from our very first EP, First Light. And he's a really well-respected producer within the UK folk scene, kind of works with everybody who's anyone in the UK folk scene. So it's a real privilege to be able to partner with him on this. But we actually also worked with some really great musicians, some of the very best folk musicians in the UK on this project. So Sam Sweeney played fiddle for us, and Ben Nichols played the double bass, and they both play alongside people like Seth Lakeman, and in their own rights as well have released you know, music that's been used for film and things like that. They're really great. So what they've added to our tracks is really special, but the sound of the tracks are very much like the coastline of Cornwall. They were kind of inspired by some of the more old some of the older kind of Cornish music. So there's
sounds a little bit more traditional than some of the other stuff.
Yeah, just a little bit. But yeah, it's going to be a kind of an interesting release. It is quite different to our releases to date, but we like to keep things fresh. And this is definitely, I mean, a few of these songs are songs that we've been sitting on for literally years now and just waiting for the opportune moment to release them.
I'm really excited about it, actually.
I'm really excited, and I haven't heard it, but you guys obviously have been living with it for a little while. What's the name of the EP?
The EP is called Memories Live On.
Does anyone else know that, or is this a new thing?
I think we may have mentioned it in passing to one or two people, but this is pretty much, you know, you're pretty much hearing this fairly exclusively, that
that's the new quite exciting.
Memories Live On. Yeah.
Memories Live On. So that's what people need to be looking out for some point in the new year. So early on 2024. How many tracks are on it?
Four. So it's a short EP. A couple of those songs are fairly short as well. It's just a kind of a little, the songs feel like they fit well together, and it made sense to release them as an extended playlist. And yeah, we'll see what the world thinks to them. But we did, for the front cover, we did climb into a disused tin mine. Not down the mine, you'll be pleased to know. But we did climb into a disused engine house that when we did get in there, we thought to ourselves, the cracks in the walls of this engine house don't look super sturdy, so we probably won't do this again. But they did make some really cool photos. So yeah, we basically risked our lives for art there.
It sounds quite scary, because I have seen some of those disused tin mine sort of places, and I'm like, ooh, I never go too close to them, full stop. So you're very brave, or foolish, or a combination of the two, I'm not sure which.
Probably mostly the second, but yeah.
But it made a great photo. Yeah. We're not recommending that, or Wellington boots when you do jumps. No.
Absolutely. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
So things not to do with our Atlantic roots.
Oh, we could buy a book.
Yes. This is the artist interview with Gordon T. We've come to our next track, which is called Under the Sun. Tell us about Under the Sun, the story behind it, and what's happened with it as well.
Yeah. So Under the Sun, I guess I wrote the lyrics to this one. So shall I explain what the kind of lyrics are really for this one?
Yeah.
So I kind of been pondering on a few thoughts for a while, and I feel like I had never been able to get the thoughts out into anything that really made sense, and then managed to put Under the Sun together lyrically. And I just felt like it was like a release of something that I'd been wanting to say for quite a while. So a lot of the lyrics were inspired by scripture, and particularly King Solomon's writing in Ecclesiastes. And of course, many listeners will know that King Solomon had great wealth and riches as the king of Israel. But he got to a point in his life where he was reflecting on the value and meaning of it all. And he compared much of the activities of humanity as a chasing of the wind, kind of here today and gone tomorrow. And the whole song is about this like wrestle between the material and the things that we can store on the earth, and the most important things, the things that we store in heaven, and the true riches, and what you know, and what all of that means. And as humans, we're constantly kind of in this wrestle, I feel like, with you know, work and the things that we can buy and the things that we give our time and attention to. And the whole song is really an encouragement to fix our minds on the things above, and to kind of reflect on where we're investing in our lives. And so yeah, that's kind of the concept of the song. And then Psalm 90 verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And it's just kind of having that mindset of remembering that our days are precious, and where we invest our time into, and yeah, where our treasure is, there our hearts will be, is kind of like the kind of thought behind the song, and just making sure that we're investing in those most important things, our relationship with God, our relationship with others, the way that we love God, the way that we love other people. And yeah, the lyric in the pre-chorus, what will we echo from distant shores? What are we chasing? What do we store? Is my favourite line of the song, and it sums up the main thought, which is, if we were stood on the shores of eternity, looking back towards the earth, what legacy would we have left? What treasure did we store? Treasure that was tangible and likely to rust, or treasure that would last? And yeah, so it's kind of a challenging song and an encouraging song, I hope, as well.
There's nothing new under the sun, under the sun.
And that was Under the Sun by Our Atlantic Roots. And thank you so very much to Mac and Laura for being here on the Artist Interview. And thanks for all you shared. You know what? It'd be great, Mac, if you would be happy to pray for listeners right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity to chat about the work that we've been doing. But Lord, we're all just servants of you, Lord. We're serving your purpose. And Lord, I pray that the music that we write brings you glory, Lord. And Lord, and it touches people's lives, and that people feel like they can connect with our music on a personal level, Lord. These songs are written out of our own experiences and our own little revelations, and just written out of a journey with you. And I just pray for everyone that's listening right now, Lord, that that they would journey with you, that they would draw closer to you, Lord, as they journey with you. And Lord, I also want to pray that you would just help everyone to recognize the gifts that you've given them, Lord, and that they would be using those gifts that they have to serve you, to share a little bit of you with the people around them, Lord. Because Lord, we all have a part to play in your kingdom. But Lord, the most important thing is that we're spending time with you, and that we are, that we're joining together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you, and we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks very much, Mac. And if you're listening to this conversation and you're thinking, who is this Jesus that Mac, Laura and Gordon are chatting about? If you're in the UK, just get along to www.findachurch.co.uk. There are many great churches that would love to help you know more of God's love. If you're listening on one of our partner stations worldwide, just contact the studio and ask them to recommend a really great church. I know they'd love to do that for you. Thanks very much, guys, for all you've shared. Now, that song, Under the Sun, was nominated in two categories at the UK Christian Music Awards, which we were both at recently up in London. Which categories was it in?
Yeah, so it was nominated for Song of the Year in the Indie Folk Acoustic category, and it was also nominated for Music Video of the Year. So we did kind of it was a bigger production video in that it was shot absolutely wonderfully, and a lot of thought and time and effort went into it, but it was with a really small team. So Mac and I and the videographer sitting down, putting things together and coming up with this concept that would kind of go along with telling, you know, well, what I was just sharing about the meaning behind Under the Sun. How do we visually kind of capture that? So I definitely encourage you to go and watch the YouTube video. We're really, really proud of it. It's on YouTube, obviously, Our Atlantic Roots. And then if you just search Under the Sun, you'll find it. And it kind of starts off in black and white and then eventually goes into colour. And it was pretty fun to shoot and come up with a concept. And we're really proud of how it turned out.
Yeah. Although it seems like every music video or video we shoot is always in winter, and we always are freezing every time we go out to shoot.
Yeah, Max more bothered about that than me, being from North Carolina.
My North Carolina blood is it doesn't deal with cold very well.
Hey, Mac, we're gonna go shoot a video today on the beach, and of course he goes out in his like jackets and stuff.
Yeah, it's only like 50 mile an hour wind.
You can't wear a jacket for this degrees. Nice video. And he's always like, why?
Go.
Oh, anyway. Okay. There is a solution to that, though, but I guess it doesn't work very well. I was going to say summer, but the trouble is then it's really busy down the beach.
We had things, to specifically go out. Yeah. To be completely honest, we did record, Mac has clearly forgotten this, but we did actually record the Under the Sun video in the summer, but it was just early in the morning because we had to make sure that the crowds weren't there for the drone shots of me on an empty beach, pretty much. But there's some really cool little camera tricks in there, and really cool like imagery and visuals, and we had a lot of fun filming that.
When you think about how many videos have been made by so many different bands across the UK, it's a phenomenal achievement that with just the two of you and a videographer, you did actually come in one of the finalists of the category. So it's
It was a really cool surprise. We weren't expecting that, and it was really nice to kind of be recognized in that way, because sometimes you put these releases out and for whatever reason they don't get picked up by as many people as you would have hoped, and they kind of get buried with all the other releases that have been put out. And it was really nice to be recognised in that way after we'd put in so much time and effort and resources into filming that.
How did it come about? Do you know, how did the people who are doing the awards even come to see it?
I think that when we released the single, we did inform the Step Forward team, just because they also put out news articles on their website. So I think we probably sent a press release to them. And if I remember correctly, they actually didn't see the press release in time to actually put it out. And I think it was actually around the time that the Queen passed away that we released this. It was actually the day, pretty much the day of that happening, which was actually a kind of crazy coincidence as far as the lyrics of the song. If you kind of watch the video and keep that in mind, it's really quite moving. And like, we were just
quite poignant.
It was unbelievably poignant, actually. But because of that, obviously, a lot of our press releases were kind of not picked up, understandably. So definitely was not as big a news in any way. So, but yeah, they obviously had that on record and no idea why or what, like when they decided to add us to the music video category. But we're really glad that they did.
Yeah, me too, because it helps you get out to a bigger audience, which I would say is also part of the reason that you're here on the show, because we would love listeners to go and look you up, find out more about you. How do people connect with you? Where do they find you?
So any social media, wherever you hang out on social media, you can find us there. Just Google Our Atlantic Roots and you'll find us. And also, if you want to listen to our music, we're on all streaming platforms. Or we do actually have physical CDs on our shop,
yeah,
and our website. So yeah,
old school. That's cool. Yeah, you've got a little Etsy shop, haven't you, from on your site. So yeah, what things can people get from your Etsys?
So we have we have lots of little handmade goodies. So Mac and I are really passionate about supporting small businesses. We run small businesses ourselves, so we understand the real impact that it has when somebody purchases something from a small business. And we're also really passionate about supporting sustainably sourced materials. So we have purchased goods from other small businesses, like little macrame keyrings and wooden keyrings that are offcuts from like a wood turner's work locally here in Cornwall. He makes bowls and spoons and things, and has essentially is making things out of Cornish wood. And rather than just kind of getting rid of that, he's making little things, extra little things out of the offcuts. And then we also have lyric books that were, these are pretty cool. So these are handmade by a small business up country, and everywhere's up country from Cornwall. But they are lyric notebooks. So on the front, there's a little lyric, and they were printed onto the book by a typewriter, a 1950s vintage typewriter called Dorothy. The typewriter has a name.
Wow.
Very cute. And the books are literally hand-stitched as well. And that's really cool. And then various other little bits. We have Christmas cards at the minute, which is pretty cool. But yeah. Lots of new things being added in the new year as well.
That's cool. So is the website ouratlanticroots.com?
.com.
Ouratlanticroots.com.
Yeah, and then you just click on shop.
Easy.
Or merch.
Easy peasy. Tell you what, you guys remind me a little bit of a band called Drakeford. Have you ever heard of Drakeford?
We know Drakeford.
Yeah. I tell you why, because Drake, when there was a tornado that came through Nashville and a tree came down where he was, and he decided he was going to save sections of the tree and then whittle it into little things.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So I've got.
I actually had a ring that was made by Drake.
No, I've got a Drakeford necklace.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Small world. That's so cool.
So how do you know them?
It's weird. It's weird because the very first time that we met them was actually at Big Church Day Out, when Mac and I were going as guests, not performing, and we saw them performing and we thought, oh, these guys kind of remind us of us, like our kind of music and things. And and then we got chatting with them afterwards and we found out that
the similarities are scary.
We have some weird similarities. For example, Mac is from North Carolina. Drake is from South Carolina.
But he had family in North Carolina. I have family in South Carolina that we used to visit every year.
Yep.
And And they are also married, and they have they're 4 years apart. So I'm 4 years older than Mac. I know, shocking.
And Jane is 4 years older than Drake.
Yeah,
and
they met at Bible college, like us.
Yeah,
weird.
That is
and
weird.
It's even weirder because turns out
his last name
is actually Johnston.
He's changed it now to something else,
which is his dad's name.
Yeah, yeah.
And he went with his mom's maiden name, which was Lanier, but his dad's name is actually Johnston, which
and
is
Max Johnston,
which is my name.
Weirder,
so
really.
I was like, are we related? Because we even kind of look alike. And
what a crazy thing! What's the chance of me mentioning them and then they're being that crazy?
Yeah.
It's a small world sometimes. So earlier in the year, I got to go and have a lovely supper with them out in Nashville. So
oh, wow.
They're great guys. So, but
yeah,
but I it would be nice. Maybe you should do a collab.
That would be really cool. Yeah, we do actually. We give them quite a lot of shout outs because we sometimes cover a few of their songs when we're playing live in our kind of longer sets. You know, just in pubs and things around Cornwall, so we always give them a bit of a shout out. But we love to share music that our friends have written and music that other indie artists have written, and if it's a beautiful song, then why not share it and give them a shout out, you know?
Wow. Oh, okay. I like that. That's a very positive thing. Anyway, so but back to Our Atlantic Roots, because this is the Our Atlantic Roots edition of the Art Institute. So you mentioned that you're playing in bars, clubs, things like that. If people want to find out, is there like a tour planned off the new EP next year, or what's going on?
We are in the middle of planning a tour for next year, so we're going to be doing a full UK tour in the autumn. And we're not sure how many dates that's going to encompass yet, but we're going to try and get to as many different corners of the UK as we can. And yeah, throughout the year, we will be visiting different places around the UK. And that all that information will be able to be found on our website. So we don't pop our, whenever we do play at places like bars and pubs and hotels, we do that pretty much just in Cornwall, local and close to home for us. And we pop those dates on Instagram usually and Facebook, but they don't go on our website. We keep our website for ticketed events and our Atlantic Roots shows, because those are the dates tend to be more, and we play some of our songs, but we also play covers and things. And it's a lot more chilled out than our Atlantic Roots show with all the stories and things. So yeah, that's where you can find
out. That is cool. So you, I remember you played a big church festival. You played the Garden Stage.
Yeah.
Festival wise, this coming year, 2024, what have you got booked in that people might have heard of?
So we are going to be playing at Between the Trees Festival in South Wales, which is an indie folk festival. And we're going to be playing with hopefully a full band on the main stage. And that's going to be really great. Other festivals have not been confirmed yet. So we are in the middle of confirming various festivals and events for next year. But if, you know, if there's any festivals or events that you'd like to see us at, then please do let the organisers of those festivals know so that they book us. And yeah, we're hopefully going to be coming to a festival near you.
Brilliant. Good plug as well, because I think that makes a lot of sense. If you want to see these guys at a festival local, go and ask the organisers to book them, because that would be awesome.
That is how they kind of, a lot of times, how they end up making their final decisions. I saw a few posts yesterday from various festivals that kind of said, who do you want to see back next year, or who do you want to see next year? And a lot of it is down to that, because obviously it's all about who the crowd wants to see. So yeah, if you want to see us, then please do give us a shout out to the festival organizers or on their pages on social media.
Cool. And we talked before about sort of income streams for you, and you very much said that actually playing live was the way that money came in, compared to say Spotify, which I think you said was paying 0.003p per stream, which is not an awful lot of money, but and some of your songs have been played significant number of times. If I look at Spotify, and is it nearly 2 million for one of them? So that's good. How are you managing to juggle all the things and as an indie band also grow yourself?
With a lot of lists and sleepless nights. No, maybe not. It really is a challenge, and you have to really be up for learning and asking for help. And I mean, essentially, it's quite a slow growth thing, and it's pretty intense, isn't it? Trying to do it all.
Learning how to switch off when you only have a limited amount of time. So like trying to make the most of when we go away, if we're somewhere, it's like, oh, let's go for a walk for a couple hours and really just try and switch off and not think about the fact that we're going to be standing in front on a stage in front of a bunch of people that are.
And then you're coming back to the planning re-energized. But
just having those little moments, I think, is really important.
Definitely. But we do really appreciate everyone streaming our music and adding us to playlists and buying merchandise and coming out to see us at festivals, because we literally wouldn't be able to do what we do without that. And it's easy to not mention the financial side, but the truth is that it costs us a lot of money to make the music. And a lot of times the way that we afford it is by applying for grants, which obviously takes up a lot of time and is kind of never guaranteed. But there's various UK funders and things that you can apply to. But then it's just the money coming in from things like streaming and merchandise. So, yeah, we're
and donations. We also have we have a few ways that people can donate to us. Because streaming pays so little. For example, I calculated it a few weeks ago, and it was something like someone would have to listen to a song a day by us for the next like 4 years every day to equal 1 5-pound CD.
Wow.
It pays quite a little. So if there is anyone that's listening that enjoys our music and wants to donate, then you can donate to Spotify, or you can find on our website,
or buy a CD give it to a friend.
I think that sounds like, you know, I am keen that people support musicians and value the gift and the ministry that you have. So I definitely say absolutely get online and see what things might be there to buy from your shop and help this ministry continue, because it's great. Being an independent artist though definitely has its challenges. So
definitely.
So we've got one more track to play from you guys. It's called Little Bird. Who'd like to introduce it?
This was kind of fun, because I had come up with this part on the guitar, the acoustic bit, and then Laura was writing something totally separately. We were in other rooms and couldn't hear each other. And then we both kind of came to each other really excited about wanting to show what we'd come up with. And it just fit perfectly. Was really cool.
Yeah, that was really cool.
But lyrically, Laura took the lead on this one. So.
Yeah, sometimes you just, you know, you're led by inspiration and something just will pop into your head and you'll kind of roll with it for a little while. And then as you continue to write the song, the meaning will become apparent, or you'll start to kind of become more purposeful in the lyrics. And all of our lyrics, we want to have some kind of impact in meaning or share a story. It doesn't always have to be a really deep concept, but it always has to have a reason for existing. But Little Bird was one of those songs that was inspiration led, and I started with this little Little Bird, sing your song, Little Bird, sing with all your lungs and fly. And essentially this song is like, it's been sung by the narrator, which is God, the voice of God speaking to humanity, and humanity is like the little bird. So I pictured in my head as I was writing this song a really cute fat little fluffy bird sat on the edge of a branch, and the bird was looking out at all the other big birds flying around and kind of perched on the edge of the branch, looking and almost kind of like doubting whether he could actually get out and fly. And the narrator, the voice of God, is kind of encouraging the little bird and saying, actually, this is your purpose, and I knew why I created you. I know why I created you. Don't doubt it. And fly and sing your song and do what you were called to do. It's a song that is encouraging all of us, and to know that we are created with purpose, and we're created for adventure, and we're created by a loving God. So it's a song about purpose and identity, really, and knowing that that is found in our Creator. So this is Little Bird.
And that was Little Bird by the wonderful R Atlantic Roots. An absolute joy to have them on the show. So I hope you enjoyed their music and their stories as much as I did. And of course, there are many other interviews that you can listen to. Just go to your favourite podcast platform and search up The Artist Interview. Maybe like it, share it with a friend. We want these blessings to go as far as possible. And I look forward to joining you on the next episode. God bless you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Artist Interview, a Hope FM podcast. Find us at hopefm.com/theartistinterview.